Now, you have written a book, a fascinating one, called Deception. Now, this book deals with something that not a lot of people are talking about right now. And so we shall talk with you about that, Charlie, for the next hour or so that you're on the program. The title means a lot. Why don't you explain why you came up with that?
Deception is the first rule of warfare by Sun Tzu. If you recall, Sun Tzu was an emperor general.
The Art of War.
The Art of War, you know, written well over 2,000 years ago. And his very first rule of war was all war is based on deception. And that led me to the title of this book, because essentially the 1990s, which we are now paying the price for, most of these operations were under the guise of deception, of being able to deceive the public, the Congress, even individuals and corporations, to believe that what was happening was benign, was not to be paid attention to, and would have no consequences. And the reality was, is it was a live shooting war. It was also a paper war. Frankly, I believe this is, we can refer to this as the first Chinese-American war. China won the first round, and they did so with a checkbook. And in that case, you can also call it an information war, because without shots being fired, they were still able to utilize information or paper assets to obtain exactly what they wanted. And in many cases, as I outlined in the book, this technology, this the sciences, the work, the kind of operations that we're engaged in, led to the export of items of technology that was immediately rendered into military-grade equipment and has been redistributed and is now pointing back at the citizens of the United States. So there is a direct link. In other words, I was able to actually go from a Chinese company comes to the United States, it's a front company, it's really Chinese military officials, they obtain the technology, they take it back, they modify it, they re-export it to Iraq, where it becomes an air defense system, and it's shooting at our airplanes.
And it was done pretty fast, too, wasn't it?
It was done in a relatively good, quick pace. And you got to remember, China managed to... a real good example in the kind of details that go into the book with the utilization of supercomputer exports directly to nuclear weapons labs. The Chinese went literally from banging two rocks together. The only way they could advance their military nuclear technology was to actually detonate one and examine the detonation to see if it worked right. To now, their state-of-the-art. They went 30 years in less than 8 years. What took us nearly $1 trillion only took them a few, couple of $100 million at most. And a very short period of time, they went from first-generation nuclear weapons to third-generation systems, something that's literally going from a bomb that's bigger than most rooms and weighing 10,000 pounds, now rendering it down to something no bigger than a cheerleader's megaphone.
And, again, it was done in record speed, and it's state-of-the-art now, isn't it?
Precisely. As I outlined in the first chapter with Hughes and Loral covering the scandals that revolved around those two companies, the very beginning we note that the Chinese, the state-of-the-art of their nuclear-tipped ballistic missiles was a clockwork mechanism. They were literally bore-sighted in a hole in China, aimed approximately at the United States with a wind-up clock that would shut down the motors appropriately and deliver the warhead. It might come within 20 or 30 miles of its intended target on a very good day. Today, because of the efforts of the Chinese Army and because of the illegal exports from Hughes and Loral and Lockheed, The Chinese operate with third-generation ballistic missiles utilizing strapped-down inertia guidance systems, radiation-hardened system electronic chips, and laser ring gyros. They can drop a missile plus or minus 100 yards anywhere on the globe.
So they're as accurate as we are.
And they can do it from a moving platform.
Which will be difficult to find and hit.
Yeah, it can be either on the back of a truck, which is their favorite, the Chinese SUV, which is a very large truck with a missile in the back, or a submarine-based system, which is what they're working on with their new class of submarines. For example, in the case of Hughes, they were charged with 123 violations of national security. It's literally a record.
And the outcome?
Well, the outcome was the company was fined extremely heavily. They were also banned from doing business with the federal government, in particular the Pentagon.
And did anybody go to jail?
No one went to jail.
Because this sounds like treason.
Yeah, it has that ring to it, but the kind of deception that's engaged in this is pretty clear. That was one of the things that led me to name the book Deception when I was investigating the Loral side of this.
I mean, why would any U.S. company be so stupid to take money with the possibility that whatever technology was obtained could be used against us in a very militaristic way?
Well,
do they not care?
One, they don't care, and two, it's their job. Okay, I've had many aerospace engineers complaining even recently why I still oppose selling the space technology to China. It's their job, and obviously they would be better employed if they had that. And I look at the very same person and I say, and you would sell a time bomb to a gangbanger on your own block?
Unbelievable.
The whole point is that when you offer people large amounts of money, and you look at the 1990s, we had this peace dividend, okay? The Cold War was over.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these companies, many of the individuals in their three-piece suits, major stock options, were watching it all fall apart because peace had broken out all over the place. I'm so sorry. So they had to find a new place to peddle their wares, and the Chinese military was a perfect spot.